Maryland's Morning News with Brian Neiman on WBAL at WBAL.com.
7:18 on Maryland's Morning News. A good Tuesday morning to you. Dr. Bradley Herring is here. He is Associate Chair for Academic Programs, Director, PhD Program in Health Economics and Policy at Johns Hopkins. I like to say he's an Affordable Care Act guru because he's the best I've ever found, and I'm always enjoy talking to you. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Happy to be here.
All right. A lot of problems, obviously, with the rollout of the Affordable Care Act, the website, the exchange at the national level and at the local level here in Maryland. Where do you see the website right now, first off, at the national level?
Yeah. So at the national level, things are a lot better, right? So at the national level, healthcare.gov, which is the entry for probably about 30 states or so in the country. By all accounts, terrible, a debacle. Even the Secretary of Health and Human Services said it was a debacle. And they quickly put a team on it and fixed it. And I think by all accounts, it's working pretty well now. If you're in one of the 30 states outside of Maryland that didn't set up its own exchange.
Although the Washington Post did have an article yesterday about how they're having some problems on the back end.
And right.
The people who are going to appeal the roll-in, yeah. People have been asking for waivers. So we still have some issues on the back end, maybe a little bit easier to get on, but for the vendors, especially the insurance companies.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So people distinguish this notion of the front end versus the back end, with the front end being a consumer sitting at a website and typing in information and actually choosing a plan, seeing what the premium would be post of a subsidy and selecting something. And then the back end is the federal website communicating all that information out to the health insurance plans. And most of those transmissions seem to be correct, but some of them are not correct. And to have any incorrect, that's a problem.
Right.
And then actually following up with appeals to fix all that, that's unfortunately not their priority right now.
What about at the state level? The Maryland Health Exchange, obviously we've had some hearings into it, but it looks like the hearings are going to stop. Yeah. How is the Maryland Health Exchange performing at this point?
So a similar story in the sense that when the exchange first rolled out, so here in the state, Maryland Health Connection in October, real problematic. So people having a hard time setting up accounts. When they could set up an account, having a hard time picking plans, and it's gotten better, but probably not to the point where you really need it to be to fix all these so-called front-end issues. I mean, I've heard statistics that maybe about 3 out of 4 people are actually able to successfully get through enrollment, which is certainly a lot better than it was, but it's still not where it needs to be.
But the numbers, 26,000 have actually bought an insurance plan off of the Maryland Health Exchange website. Yeah. That number is extremely low. What does it need to be? And what happens if these numbers don't get better in Maryland?
Yeah, so you're right. It's really low. And so for some context, there's probably about 800,000 people in the state of Maryland who don't have health insurance. And as a result of healthcare reform, you know, the best estimates are out there are probably that about half of that 800,000 are going to ultimately gain health insurance coverage over a long, you know, period of like several years, with about half of that half gaining private health insurance coverage and half of that half gaining Medicaid coverage through the state. So the initial projections, I think, for the state were to try and get maybe about 150,000 people in the first year gaining private health insurance coverage through the exchange, with some of them probably switching from a private health insurance plan they had, some of those formerly uninsured. And so where we are now, about 25,000, just over 25,000, is pretty low compared to where they're hoped to be.
What does that mean for people then who have plans now? What does it mean for the insurance companies if the numbers don't get better? Are they going to have to raise rates for people who already have insurance?
So that's exactly right. So the concern is that, the rates won't be raised over the next year. They're set, right? But I think the concern is that if enrollment isn't where the insurers expected it to be, they'll presumably think to themselves, well, the people who probably picked health insurance coverage are maybe a little older and sicker than we anticipated, because those are the ones that desire coverage more. And when they go and set their rates for 2015, they'll probably adjust them higher to account for that so-called adverse selection.
Why do you think, because you study public policy, I mean, this is what you do for a living. Yeah. Why do you think people have been slow
to enroll or to even look for a plan? Obviously, the technical problems has to have an issue. But is there another reason beside that? Because we're 130,000 short of what they wanted and what they needed, what they expected.
Yeah. So I do think that the technical issues paramount, right? So that I think a lot of people who were excited about getting coverage in October, November, had difficulties, heard news accounts about the difficulties, and gave up and figured, well, I'm not gonna like spend my time trying to get coverage if I'm kind of one of these folks on the fence. So I think the technical difficulties are paramount, but I also think that there's general confusion among the public about what's actually taking place with healthcare reform, and I think that's probably caused by two main things. One is it's frankly it's just really confusing. The existing healthcare system. Really confusing. The Affordable Care Act is pretty confusing. You know, you have to really be following a lot of this to understand all the multiple provisions and understand how they work together. So I think it's just underlying difficulty in understanding it. But I think also the fact that this is just so political and the Republicans and Democrats are fighting with one another and trying to score points on just about everything. Frankly, I think there's a lot of just general misunderstanding about what the law is doing because of that, right? So the Democrats are probably over-promising on how simple it is and how easy and how great the Affordable Care Act is. And the Republicans are, overly critical about how bad it is.
The deadline is March 31st to enroll or you're going to get faced with a penalty, the individual mandate.
That's called. Right, yep.
Do you think that that deadline will be pushed back? I mean, do you think that there's somewhere where the president is going to want to go? Obviously, you know, Congress is going to want to have a say in that as well.
So possibly. I think that, I think it's possible. My money would probably be on no, and I think that's largely because while there were lots of difficulties with the websites in October, November, the federal website, at least, is seemingly working pretty well right now. And so if someone wants to gain coverage by this March 31st deadline to actually get them coverage for April 1st, I think it's pretty much doable now. And so I think...
You think that could be a firm deadline then?
I think I would, yeah. So, I mean, it's possible it wouldn't, but I bet that it'll probably stay up for
last
deadline.
Question.
Yeah, sure.
The exchange in Maryland, there has been talk about some people saying, you know what, it's not worth our time. It's not worth our effort. We had so many issues with it. Let's just have everybody in Maryland use the national exchange like most states do right now, because most states don't have an exchange. What would that mean for Marylanders? And I'm not asking you if it was a wise move or not, but is that feasible? Do you see that as a possibility?
So I mean, I guess it's a possibility for 2015, right? So if the state can't really fix the website over the next couple months, then it seems like that might be a real option, right? So for the open enrollment period, that'll be October, November, December for January 1st, 2015 coverage, maybe a switch to the federal website makes sense. I certainly didn't think it made sense to switch to the federal website like right now to try and fix things immediately because it just would have been so much turmoil and so difficult to pull off.
Dr. Bradley Herring from Hopkins, thank you so much for coming in. Always enjoy talking with you. Do
Thanks.
It down the road, okay?
All right.
I don't think the story's going away, do you?
Unfortunately not. Yeah.